in our walk with the Lord through Shofar and so on, Stellenbosch and Tigerberg, and now we're finding ourselves here at the end of Africa, at the coast, and we're in this small church, and it's really family, and there's close relationship here, and we're in each other's faces, and we've dealt with a lot of stuff this year, a lot of offenses, we've dealt with a lot of heartache, a lot of pain, and to make matters worse, in the last week we've lost two people in this congregation, Leslie's son, and now Auntie Bev in this last week as well, and it just really, it has rocked me to the core, and I'm sure many of you, especially that have known Auntie Bev, obviously Leslie's son being upcountry, we've never known him, but we really feel along with Leslie and Karina, but with Auntie Bev, you know, we've gotten to know her over the last year and a half, and she and Uncle Ronnie have been so faithful in church and at the intercession meetings and really sharing their lives with us and standing together with us in faith as part of the church to establish the work of God here. And they've been a massive support to this church, and their open hearts and their open home. Brighton and Pauline were baptized at their home, and they're here tonight as well. And one can't help but it brings up questions, you know, when these things happen. You know, we serve a big God, bigger than anything we can imagine. We serve a good God, always good. Why do these things happen? You know, and why death and suffering? Why do bad things happen to good people? And on the reverse side, why do good things happen to bad people? Not to me, you know. There's so many questions, the timing and the manner of how things happen. Why? And, you know, well, Clint was going to minister tonight. Our former elder who moved back to Tigerberg. And I must say, there's exciting things happening in his life, and its door is really opening for him into ministry and so on, and we're very excited. And he was going to minister, but he fell sick this weekend. And there's been a lot of sickness going around. We, as a family, we've all been sick, and we're praying now for another Shofar pastor, Somerset West, whose child is really, really sick. And there's just, you know, as the children of God, we're not exempt to bad things happening to us. You know, and it's easy to point fingers and want to judge people. You know, why does that bad thing happen to that person? That person must have done something bad. Not necessarily always the case. I had a sermon prepared now for tonight, and I had quite a lot of scripture, and I knew that I want us to find comfort in the Word. And then as we were singing tonight and praising the Lord, I just felt the Lord say, He just wants to minister to all of us here just through the scripture. He doesn't actually want me to say anything. He didn't say that what I was going to say is wrong. So don't worry about that. But specifically, so it's something that I haven't done before. But I'm going to... Look, the sermon was going to start at a logical point, the beginning. The very beginning, you'll see what I mean. And it was going to work its way to the end of our lives. So kind of a journey that kind of explains things and you know, trying to make sense of things for us here. And maybe I can, yeah, so what I want to do is I'm going to read slowly through all the scriptures that I had. And I've got quite a few scriptures, so that's great. If I knew that I wasn't going to be allowed to say anything, then I would have put in more scriptures. But I know that the Lord knows what He's doing. And I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to minister us through the Word. And then I'll just conclude for us afterwards. So I really want you to, each one, we're just going to sit here quietly, and you're just going to go through the scriptures with me. It's going to be on the overheads. And then, so I really want you to focus and concentrate. So I'm not going to explain things for you. I'm not going to spoon feed you tonight. And a lot of the scriptures might seem like, you know, you've heard it 100 times before, those scriptures, and it's so such a basic message or whatever. But I want foundations to be reinforced here. Because you know what? There's no need to doubt. There's no need to be confused when life happens and when bad things happen. The Word of God is clear about why things happen and about how to move on from that point. And I want the Word of God to minister to us tonight. Is that all right with you? Great. Okay. Genesis 1 verse 26. Okay, that might be one or two slides. I'm going to read it for us anyway. If you've got good eyesight, then you can read with me. But please listen carefully. It's English Standard Version. Just maybe a footnote. As we discussed last week, one of the points that was raised was that, as the Scripture says, all Scripture is breathed by God. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. Written down by man's hand, but it is inspired by God. And last week we came to that place where some of us realized, hey, but I've got to put more faith and my trust in the Word of God, that is what God wanted there, and I can trust it, and I can build my life upon that rock. Okay, so this is the Word of God speaking. I'm going to keep quiet now. I'm just going to read from the Word. But take this as from the Lord. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Genesis 1:31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Genesis 2, verse 15 to 17. Maybe I'm just going to read a bit slower. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Genesis 3, verse 4 to 10. But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, the Lord God, among the trees of the garden. The Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Genesis 3, verse 14 to 19. The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Romans 3:23. for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. Genesis 3:21. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Romans 6:23. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. First Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Romans 10:9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. 1 Timothy 2:1-4. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. John 10:10. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Romans 5:1-5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. 1 Corinthians 15:53-58. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Now that is the summation of all the scripture that I wanted to share tonight. I had a lot to share, but I trust that maybe I believe it packed a bigger punch. You just thinking really about the scripture that's being shared. Sometimes we come to a service and we go into service mode because it's easy to predict how it's going to flow. And maybe we miss a lot. So maybe tonight the Lord definitely had something else on his heart. And I wrote down quite a few ideas as a conclusion, which also summarizes a lot of what I was, a lot of what is said through the scripture as well, and some scriptures that we didn't mention tonight. But it's important when we go through trials and when we're faced with huge challenges that we have a rock to stand on, that we have a good solid foundation. Otherwise, the storms are going to shake us completely and we will fall. And our foundation, as we discussed last week, is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. He's the cornerstone. He's the one that keeps it all together, like a cornerstone basically holds the house together in the traditional manner of speaking. And he's our rock. The kingdom that we are inheriting is an unshakable kingdom. When does the kingdom start? Does it start after we die? No, it starts in your heart, in your life, once you receive Christ. And you can be in a place where you're unshakable, not when you don't have any emotion and when you don't feel pain and sorrow, but where it doesn't kill you, where it doesn't bring you to an inch of your life. We can have that foundation. It's based on Christ. You want to know who Christ is. You want to get Christ in you. You've got to get the Word of God in you. The Bible is Jesus in print. There's a saying that goes, life is short and will soon be past. Only what is done for Christ will last. And when Philip's message tonight, also with the offering, so important for us in this day and age where we hang on to success coupled to having a lot of money and wealth, and that becomes a motivation and driving force in our life. You cannot take 1 cent with you to heaven. You cannot take a million Zimbabwe dollars with you to heaven. You cannot take anything. Tutankhamun and the pharaohs, they stocked up for their trip over to the other side. They were ready. Guess what? The grave diggers, grave robbers found all that stuff was still there. And they had a merry time. Can't take anything with you. Even if you're a king, you're not exempt. From dust to dust, all of us. Just by way of conclusion, these couple of ideas that I want to share it's just truth that I want to just, you'll find it all in the Word of God. But I pray that it will just hit home. It'll be something that, it's something that we need to be reminded of on a continuous basis. And we all are capable of becoming shaky and wobbly when life hits us hard. And you know what? Let's find comfort like tonight in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, one of his names is the Comforter. God is the Comforter. And it's difficult sometimes when you're flooded with emotion to focus on God, to focus your thoughts on God. Help yourself by going to the Word of God and just reading the Word of God. Let the Word of God minister to you and comfort you. That's as close to God's presence as you need to be to get comforted. Let the Word of God comfort you. Be reminded of the fundamental truths about who God is, so that the enemy can't come and plant lies in your head when you are at your most vulnerable. The enemy loves to use tragedy to infuse doubting and confusion in believers' lives, to drive believers away from the Lord. The Lord would love to turn it around, it wasn't him that wanted that to happen. But to turn it around, he works all things together for the good of those who love him. And he can make you stronger in your faith in spite of the worst circumstances. So there's three appointments in life that you cannot escape. You're welcome to blank the screen. Thanks, John. There's three appointments in life that you cannot escape. That is your birth. We're reminded of that every year. We celebrate our birthday. Hallelujah. We had a kiddies party for Christian yesterday. He's 2 years old. And the house is never the same after the kiddies party. 2 year old. And there weren't even that many small kids. I think it's more the adults that create the chaos. Okay, so we have a birthday, and we're all going to die. Let's make peace with that. Don't make it your mission in life to find the Holy Grail that you can drink from and you'll live forever, and all these Indiana Jones movies and stuff like that. Okay, not going to work, not going to happen. There's no magic water. There's no guru at the top of a high mountain in Tibet that's going to give you the key to eternal life or something like that. Listen. We're all going to die, okay? But as we heard tonight, that is just a transition to the eternal. Somewhere in between, I said there are three appointments. You're born, you die. Somewhere in between, each of us will get a revelation of Jesus Christ. As I've said before, you might be on a desert island and no one, no circuit preacher, no shofar church, no Every Nation, no Inhikag, nothing on that island. No one to share the word of God with you. You grew up in solitude. The Lord can give you a dream, as he does to many people, where Lord's first choice to send out laborers. If the laborers are disobedient and they don't go, then the Lord does it himself. He's sovereign, he can. But he chose to stand back and gave us dominion as his believers. We need to grow in love by going to people and sharing with them out of a motivation of love. So the Lord will give each one a revelation of Jesus Christ, and then we have a choice to accept or reject the Lord Jesus as Savior and Master of our life. Those are our three appointments. Now, once we have received Christ, death is then the transition. From this earthly dwelling place to an eternal dwelling place, which is heaven, paradise. That is where God is, to be with him, if you have received him. If you've rejected the Lord, you don't want to be with him, then you go to hell. Everyone's got these scary images of hell, and I don't think it's a nice place. The Bible talks of lake of fire and all of that. Don't worry about that. The worst thing about hell, God is not there. Ain't no love in hell. Okay? You don't want to go there. God didn't make it for people. He made it for the devil and devil's angels. Okay? Hopefully, the Hell's Angels motorbike gang will make the decision to receive Christ before they go. Right. So, that'll be sorted out on Judgment Day. And no one can judge and say, that person's not going to heaven one day and whatever. Because guess what? The Lord can save people, give them a revelation and opportunity to receive him on their deathbed seconds before they breathe their last. But we all know, hallelujah, it's better to receive Lord earlier on in your life because you can know the presence and the peace of God here now on earth. And then earth will be the closest that you get to hell. Fortunately for the people that will in the end reject Christ, earth will be the closest that they'll get to heaven. And that's not a very comforting thought because earth is not always a very lucky place to be. Now we are a three-part being. We are a spirit which goes on for eternity that lives in a body which will perish. There's a cap of about 120. We're not going to make it much further than that, even if we're very healthy and fit. And we have a soul, three-part being spirit, body, soul. Soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect. That is your soulish realm. Okay, now, while we are here on earth, there will be difficulty, there will be pain, there will be suffering, and there will be death around us, and at some point it will be our turn as well. This is because we live in a fallen world, a sinful world, where every human alive has a sinful nature, a tendency, an inclination to sin, to break God's holy law. Breaking God's holy law inevitably leads to destruction and pain and suffering and death. Even if you think in the early stages, it brings maybe pleasure and so on. But continuing in that vein and indulging in sin of any nature will eventually bring forth suffering, and ultimately, if continued in that way, will bring forth death. Okay. And continuing deliberately to infinity will bring forth eternal separation from God, i.e., you know where you're going. So, we've inherited sinful natures. You don't have to teach a child how to sin, how to be naughty, how to be disobedient. Christian gets hidings for direct disobedience. The Lord teaches parents through the Word how to train up their children, so that eventually when he is older and wiser and he can receive Christ, then he will not depart from the way that he's been taught. That is how we raise our children. And we do it in a loving manner, not an abusive manner. And the Lord would have us obey him and obey his word. It's when we disobey, and it's our choice. The Lord has given us freedom to choose. He made us in his image and his likeness. He wanted companionship. He wanted friends. He can exist, and he did exist for eternity very well without us. But he made us for his enjoyment, to receive love and to give love. Receive specifically his love, to find our identity in him and our purpose in him, and to give love to him. That is why he made us, and to give love to other people. But we make wrong decisions. We make selfish decisions. We hurt ourselves. We hurt people around us. The Lord chose to step back, gave us dominion. He doesn't interfere, but for his children, for the ones who receive him, they stand in grace. If you had to take away our grace now, none of us would be sitting here, firstly, but life would not be lacquer. We experience abundance of life, an excess of life. We experience an all-sufficiency. We experience God's mercy and grace and provision. Because of that grace that was afforded to us through his atoning death on the cross. Together with his Son, the Bible says he has given us all things. Everything's available to us that we need. The Lord will not withhold. If an earthly father knows how to give good gifts to his son, an earthly father being evil compared to God, how much more will your heavenly Father give you good things? If you ask him, he'll give you what's good for you. Just sketching a bit of a framework, a roadmap as such. We need to be reminded of these things, especially in times of trial. Not only do we live in a sinful, fallen world that has experienced decay, degeneration because of sin, that we in ourselves are sinful and make good decisions that bring on pain and suffering in our own lives. We also have an adversary, an enemy, who is out to get us. That's not a nice message, and some churches try and imagine him away and say, but there's no devil. No. That's the biggest deception of all. He would like you to think that he's not there, because then you will more readily accept the thoughts and the lies that he plants in your head. The devil's called the father of lies. That's the only thing he can do, is he can lie to you. The only way you can get hurt as a Christian is to believe that lie and to follow that. And he loves to get you to think that's God that is talking to you. You know, that which you did there, I really don't like, and I don't love you anymore. Maybe we experienced that in our house growing up. Our parents being rejecting us for not performing or whatever, whatever. No, that's not God. You want to know who's talking to you when you hear that voice, when you get that feeling? Go to the Word of God. The Lord is not a man that he should lie. He cannot contradict himself. He doesn't go against his word. He's the same. He's immutable, unchangeable. The one who was and is who is to come. The same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the Lord. He doesn't change. You can bank on Jesus. You can build your life upon him. He's not going to change his mind tomorrow and say, no, well, it's only 144,000 I'm going to make it. Sorry, you didn't make the cut. No. 1 Timothy 2, he desires all men to be saved. Jesus Christ, John 3:16, died on the cross that all who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You cannot make a doctrine around one verse. You read the Bible, it's the biggest and best love letter to humanity ever. Single train of thought and thread that you can pull through the whole Bible. Greatest book ever written, because it's got the greatest author ever. Lord Jesus Christ is the Word. He was there in the beginning, is there at the end, and is here for you. Enemy wants to destroy us. Why? Because we remind him of God. We look like God. You want to know what something like what God would look like if you had to see him? He'll look something like you. Like something like a human, because we made in his image and his likeness. We'll see him one day with spiritual eyes. You cannot see him now. But you're not going to get a fright when you see him. Okay. It's going to look familiar. You're going to know him when you see him because you loved him your whole life. You're not going to be surprised, not going to get a fright. You're going to enjoy every second in his presence. And hallelujah, that it's going to be for an eternity. So the enemy's out to get us, but we're not going to fall for his tricks. God is good. It is his nature, cannot change. God is good. We need to remind ourselves of that cardinal truth when things seem to go pear-shaped in our life. Don't start doubting God's goodness. Don't start doubting whether he wants to come through for you. Don't start doubting whether he loves you, whether he is who the Bible says he is. Don't doubt. God is good. Some churches, what do they say? All the time. Mm-hmm. And all the time, God is good. Hallelujah. You got to say that. He wants us to live in his joy and his peace and his love, his mercy and his grace and his provision. He wants us to have an abundant life. He wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to have it a foundation, a joyous foundation that is always there. As Etienne said earlier, we don't go from one happening to another that makes us feel happy. That's how my life was before I knew the Lord. I lived for the weekends because I would drink some juice that would make me very happy on the weekend. That was my life. Now, I don't need that juice. I drink real juice, 100% fruit juice. And I don't like the fruit blend and stuff and whatever. I like the 100% stuff. Okay. So, I've got a joy. I don't need that stuff anymore. You know, and people that come to me and say, but God is a crutch in my life, I will love them. But alcohol was a crutch in my life. God is my foundational truth. He makes me stand when others fall. 1,000 can fall at your left, 10,000 at your right hand. You'll stay standing because your life is built on the rock of Jesus Christ. Now I have a joy that's not dependent upon circumstance. Happiness is dependent upon a happening. Joy you can have always. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We will live in that place of joy. And so when it comes to loss, we lose friends and we lose family, the Lord would have us celebrate their life. The Lord would have us celebrate their life. And know that if they knew him, and my bet would be, they're family of ours, we've been praying for them. And even if we never saw them make a decision, you know, God hears our prayers, and maybe they will be some of those that in their last breath surrender to the Lordship of Christ. So unfortunately, they never knew that joy and peace while here on earth. But I hope and I pray, and that's what I bank on, that they would go to be with Him for eternity, and that we will be reunited one day. Because we as a family were praying for them. God moves on our prayer. And so we can celebrate their life, and we can take comfort in that they're with the Lord, and that they're in a place where there's no more suffering, there's no more death. Death, where's your victory? Death, where's your sting? It's gone. Jesus took it all for us on the cross. That's the good news. That's the foundational good news of being a Christian, is that it doesn't end here, that life is tough for everyone, believer, unbeliever alike. But for the believer, it doesn't end here. It's not just some vain, meaningless existence. We go to be with our Creator, our Lord and our God, for an eternity, a place where there is no suffering, there is no more death. So death doesn't become something to be feared anymore. And that's what I realized when I came to know the Lord, when He saved me, when He revealed Himself to me, and I realized that there was a fear that had been lifted that I never even knew I had, that I was afraid to die. I didn't even know that. Incapacitated to worry about that. But we all do have a fear of death unless we come to know the Lord. He can lift that. So now death is not the end anymore. It's a transition. It's something that we can look forward to. Therein is our hope. Therein lies our comfort. Enemy, he cannot destroy. He can hurt us in this life. We allow him to, particularly. But he cannot steal, kill our spirit. He cannot take our salvation. We are secure, John chapter 10, in the Lord's hand. Nothing can take us away. The only way we get out of that place is if we reject the Lord. And I want to urge anyone. Sometimes we have questions, and I want you to make peace with the fact that we're never going to have all the answers. We will never have all the answers. God's ways, His thoughts are above ours. Thank the Lord for the Bible and for revelation that He can give us. Nothing outside of the Bible, but He will reveal things to us through the Bible. But thank the Lord that He could write it on our level, that we can actually understand that. Because His ways and His thoughts are above ours. We're not going to have all the answers, but one day in heaven, it will all make sense. Make peace with the fact that you might not have all the answers, but what you must do, you must bank on the foundational truths of who God is and His character and His promises. Don't ever be tempted to let go of those truths. Don't ever be tempted to think that God is not good all the time. Well, that sometimes God doesn't love you. That's all contrary and opposite what the Word of God tells us. Never lose sight of those things. Comfort yourself in those basic foundational truths about who God is. Do not be shaken by the enemy. The enemy wants to capitalize on times of suffering, to drive a wedge between us and God. We never have the right to be angry at God. Never. He is not the author of death and suffering. That is the realm of the enemy. The Lord can turn it around for us. The Lord has given us eternal life. He showed it. He proved it by giving the most that He could ever give. His only Son He gave to die for us. Nothing more the Lord could have done to show us how much He loves us. Like I've said many times before, I don't have that much love in me to sacrifice my Son for someone else. No ways. I will kill for my Son at this stage. I don't have that much love in me. God has more love than all of us put together. That He could give His only Son, who was completely innocent, to die for us while we were still sinners, while our backs were still turned to God. The religious people of the day that claimed to know God, they wanted nothing to do with Jesus. He was rejected around every corner, rejected in our stead. He was crushed. God poured out all his anger and wrath upon his own son, so that the law could be fulfilled, the requirements of the law could be fulfilled. God is just. He's a righteous judge. He has to punish sin. But Jesus came in as a substitute. God provided a substitute. And he vented all his anger and wrath upon his own son so that we can go free. That's how much he loves us. Then he raised his son from the dead, who had suffered so tremendously, bearing the weight of our sin, being separated from his Father for the first and only time in eternity because he had that sin on him, and God cannot mix with sin. God had to punish him. But God is a righteous judge. He will not punish two people for the same crime. You go free because Jesus died in your stead. You go free. That is the love of God. That's the grace of God in our lives. Never lose sight of that. Never forget that unconditional love that was displayed at the cross. When you want to start doubting in God's goodness, think of the cross. When you feel confused about his love for you, think of the cross. Never lose sight, never lose hope. It's not about us. It's about God. It's all about God. This life, eternity, creation, the world, everything. It's not about us, it's not about people, it's not about great people. It's not about a good teacher, it's not about a prophet. It's about God. It's all about God. He is God, he alone is God. We are not God. We will not question God. How shall the clay say to the potter? We will not question God. Let him be God. Let him be God in your life. Sometimes we think our circumstances are too involved, too complicated, too difficult for God to come and fix it or sort it out. No. He's bigger than anything that you will ever encounter in your life. He's bigger. He's greater. You want to know how big God is? Look at Table Mountain. That doesn't compare to God. God made it. Look up, look at the mountain. Where shall your help come from? Your help shall come from the Lord. He made the heavens and the earth. He can do it for you. Now, tomorrow we're having a memorial service here for Auntie Bev at 10:30. Everyone's invited. If you can make it at all, please make the effort to be here. Show your support for the family. She meant a lot to this church. She prayed for each of you. We're going to celebrate Auntie Bev's life tomorrow. We're going to celebrate it. What would Auntie Bev say to us now? She'd say, she'd quote Matthew 6:33, I'm sure, something in that line. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You'll add all the other things. Don't worry. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what happens here after. Just seek God. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. She was a kingdom person. She loved the Lord. For our teacher, she would, you know, she's very creative, and she'd make these like little, she'd laminate these little colored tags, and she would cut out and so on. And when we went on outreach to the police and the fire brigade and so on, and we'd cut out these little scripture tags and these words of encouragement. When you prayed intercession, and she always encouraged us with these charismatic quotes and so on. She really was someone very special, really an encourager, such a beautiful person. She knew hardship in her life. Share a bit more tomorrow, and we'll hear from the family and so on. But she grew up an orphan, and praise God, she was adopted by the Lord God. So, like all of us, been adopted into the family of the beloved. She came to know a love that she never knew. And she lived in that place. And she loved to testify of God's goodness. And she really glorified God through her life. She honored Him. The scriptures say that if we honor Him, He will honor us. And I really feel that tonight the Lord wants us to honor Auntie Bev by just standing together. We're going to do a song, one of her favorite songs, Blessed Be Your Name. And I'd just like us just to stand united, just hold hands in remembrance of Auntie Bev. And we're just going to sing this song. And and I'll close the service after that. That's okay. Right, let's stand together. If we can just hold hands and just sing this song and we praise God in remembrance of a beautiful life. Once it be.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name.
Let's bow our heads. So Lord, we give you praise tonight. We give you praise, Lord, that we can trust in you, that our hope is not in vain. We give you praise tonight, Lord, that we can look forward to spending an eternity with you in the full presence of your glory, unlike we've ever experienced before. But Lord, that we can also experience something of your love, your presence in our life, even here on earth, Lord, that we can experience a peace that transcends understanding despite whatever life throws at us, Lord. Thank you that we can know you in the midst of that. You go through the flood and the fire with us, Lord. And perhaps the biggest thing of tragedy, Lord, is when people go through it alone, when they don't know you. For your children, Lord, we are never alone. You are with us. And you're the only one that truly understands what we go through. You're the only one that can truly empathize with us. You are always there for us. We can always turn to you. And you save all who call upon your name. We just give you praise for that tonight. We give you praise and thanks for Auntie Bev's life tonight. We celebrate her life tonight. The amazing person, Lord, that you created her to be, that you raised her up to be. The amazing friend and mother in church. We just bless you for her, Lord. We pray tonight for Uncle Ronnie, who's going through such a tough time, having lost his princess. We pray, Lord, that you will strengthen him. Pray, Lord, that his faith will not fail him at this time, that he will draw near to you for comfort. And for their children, Donovan, Wendy, and Mandy, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you also just hold them in the palm of your hand, that you'll comfort them, Lord, that you'll draw them all closer and closer to you. And also for all the friends and for this church, Lord, that you would comfort us in this time of loss and bereavement, Lord, that you will stand by us, and that you thank you, Lord, that you will get us through this. We just bless your name. You just keep your heads bowed. Just like to extend the invitation if there's anyone here that doesn't know the Lord in a way that I've described tonight, and as the scriptures have shown us, his will is for us. You don't know the love of God. I want to let you know that the invitation is always there. It is always open to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, where you can step into relationship with him, where you can know your God and your Creator, the only one who can tell you why you've been created, the only one that can fill you with a hope that transcends understanding, a peace that goes beyond circumstance, a joy that is not dependent upon happenings, and a love that never fails. You don't know this God, but you want to know him. I want to invite you to take that decision tonight and not to procrastinate. We don't know the number of our days, but the Lord loves you. There's no time to delay. If you want to come to know Jesus tonight, if you want to pray a prayer with me where you just commit your life to him, I'd love to pray with you. It's not about the prayer and the words. It's about you bringing your heart before God and you start to talk to him, where you start understanding who he is. If that is you, just raise your hand. No one's looking around. You just raise your hand. Okay. Just want to just encourage you again that the invitation is open anytime. If you're here, you know someone who knows the Lord. Go speak to them when you feel the time is right. Ask them how they experience God. Ask them how they came to know him. He wants you to know him too. If there's people here that are really struggling with grief, that would like prayer, maybe any other specific prayer needs, I want to invite you to come to the front afterwards. Come and chat with me. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe Tobias and Kira, if you can come and pray with me as well for the people. And then, Ryan's mom would just like to, would you still like to say something? Yeah? She'd just like to say a quick word of encouragement.